Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
I can remember many years ago when Myers Leonard was drafted. I looked and I thought, 7 foot one and a quarter. Tallest player in the building on that draft night. You remember that? We knew he played basketball at Illinois. And I wanted to know, who is this guy? What is he about? Well, I ended up on the telephone with Corporal Bailey Leonard. That's Myers Leonard's older brother, who was on active duty. And he was responsible for mounted patrols, logistics, and support for Marine infantry. And I asked him about his brother, and he talked a lot about childhood. He remembered Myers frequently going to eat at other people's house because the family didn't have enough food, and he remembered getting teased. And I thought about that as I think about what a success story Myers Leonard has turned out to be, and frankly, his brother as well. Myers Leonard joining us now. Where are you right now? Are you on a beach somewhere?
I'm close to one, but considering social distancing and the quarantine, Ellie and I have taken that very seriously. So I am in Miami, but I am not on a beach. I am safe and sound here at the house, and my dog, my lovely Coco, is taking a nap next to me, and my wife is working like she pretty much does 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
I like that. I like that you and the dog are lounging around. You know, I bring up your brother and your childhood because I think it's such an important part of your story, and family is obviously important to you. But, you know, You're sitting in Miami now. You're in the NBA. You have made it, man. Quote, unquote, you've made it. How far away do you feel from Robinson, Illinois?
You know, John, we've all had more time, I guess, on our hands than what we usually would or what we perceive because of, you know, being quarantined and everything like that. And I just think about my life and how just incredibly blessed I am. I know that word gets tossed around a lot, but it's the truth, man. And, you know, first of all, thank you for your kind words to start the show here. But, you know, going through the struggle as a youngster was not easy, but I didn't know any better. It was just what life was. And I truly feel as though that is what has built me into the man that I am today. Not only my childhood, but, you know, struggles along the way. Clearly, I had, you know, some struggles in Portland. I've been willing to talk about those issues and how I overcame that, and, you know, both as a man and as a player. And so, you know, I think to myself, wow, how in the world is all of this my reality? Beautiful wife, more money than I could have ever imagined, you know, able to take care of people because of that financial stability, you know, it's crazy, man. And in terms of Robinson, man, it's always going to be home for me. It's like, home is where the heart is. And that's what, again, it's kind of what built me. I have, I guess, these, without speaking too highly of myself, I suppose, I have character traits that I feel are allowing me to succeed not only as a man but as a player, and those were all developed at an early age.
How's Bailey doing? Are you guys still playing video games?
Oh God, you know it. You know, he's busier than I am. He's, you know, wife and two kids and everything. So he's a blue collar guy. They don't live paycheck to paycheck necessarily, but in essence, you know what I mean. And so occasionally, but we talk all the time. I was just on FaceTime with him and, again, his wife, my niece and nephew, who I miss dearly all the time. you know, they're growing like crazy. I miss them. You know, the NBA lifestyle certainly has so many blessings, and I'm so thankful for it. But at the same time, you do miss out on it a lot, and that would be one, is spending time with family, particularly because of geographical location, and just, you know, the time spent training both in the off season and, of course, during the season, the travel and the NBA schedule and this, that, and the other. So, you know, man, I just first of all, thanks for having me on. You know, it's been a while since we chatted, and it's always a good time.
I always try to leave you alone. I mean, you were starting up in Miami. I was like, you got to be locked in when you get there, and now we've got an interruption to this season. Are you staying in shape? And what's, you know, I guess you're at the mercy of, hey, if they say you're going to come back and play, you come back and play. But how close to playing condition do you think most of the league is?
You know, it's a tough question, because I was recently in a New York Times post, and they talked about, you know, NBA players, actually vast majority don't have a basketball hoop at their house. You know, we have 24/7 access to world-class facilities with our teams. And not to mention, shooting outdoor is nothing like shooting indoor. There's the wind, and there's concrete, you know, and other factors such as people coming up and annoying you. So it's not what people think it is, you know. So I would say that most guys are staying in pretty decent shape. And, you know, there's a saying that basically there's nothing like game shape. That's the truth. It's going to take teams and players time to get everybody's legs back under them, and, you know, ready to rock and roll. So, like you said, we are definitely at the mercy of, you know, the situation at hand. But for me, as you know, I unfortunately had a pretty rough ankle injury, which left me out even prior to the season being suspended. But if there was a silver lining of sorts for me, it would be that.
Yeah, I think there are a few guys that, you know, would benefit. Like, I know they're talking about, could Kevin Durant come back if the season started and the playoffs were on, and he was a guy everybody thought was out. I kind of feel like it would be two different NBA seasons if they started back up. I don't know how fair that is to you guys.
You know, there's been so many ideas thrown around. You know, from the competitive side of things, of course, the NBA players want to play. But being safe in everybody's health, including players, staff, you know, fans, whenever that happens, that's the biggest and most important part of this. And so it's a weird time we're going through. There's no other way to put it. You know, yeah. I have stayed as ready as possible, considering my ankle. My ankle is almost 100%. You know, I've been grinding so hard from the house and, you know, doing what I can to stay ready and be ready whenever the time is. And so, like I said, there's no other way to put it other than this is a weird time, not only that sports and the NBA are going through, but our world is going through.
Yeah, the state of Oregon just announced that the governor came out and said, you know, no big gatherings, including sporting events, at least in through September. Which would create, you know, no fans in the arena if you're going to have games, and no fans at college football games in September. How would it be to play in an empty arena?
That would be strange, to say the least. But again, once you're between the lines, I know for me personally, of course, you're impacted by the crowd and the emotion and this and that. But there's like this zone of sorts that you get in as a player. That will just allow you to do the task at hand. And so if that's what we're asked to do, then that's what we have to do. You know, again, all of us want to compete, but we need to make sure we're doing it in a safe way. And to be frank with you, I wonder, even if we do hypothetically Vegas or somewhere down here in Florida at Disneyland, Disney World, I don't know which it is, if one person gets us and somehow, and we're all isolated, and now all of a sudden they didn't have symptoms and they've been around X, Y, and Z people, and then all of a sudden it spreads. Like, it's just it's very weird what we're going through, and so we have to be careful.
Myers Leonard with us, Miami Heat. Myers, I saw online that your home is for sale. How weird is that to have that public where people, like, it became a story, like several news agencies. And by the way, nice house. I could live in that pool house.
Well, thank you. But, you know, first of all, John, I have to say I'm a homebody. I really don't go out much, you know, with, again, without saying much. We do have a chef, so there's no going out for food unless we want to go have a date night. And therefore, what I mean by that is I'm literally my house, practice facility, arena, home. And basically, that's like the triangle. And so for me personally, that's why I wanted a nice home and somewhere that was, you know, secluded a little bit. So we had some privacy and everything like that. And I will say this. The home in Oregon is beautiful. We completely redid the entire inside of the home, made it more modern. It's a beautiful, beautiful home. And not to mention, there's a pool. There's a chipping green. Plenty of garage space. Again, we completely revamped everything. The man cave is unbelievable. I mean, I completely tricked it out for myself. It's got a massive TV, plenty of space for guests kind of downstairs in the downstairs in the guest quarters. I mean, it's a very nice home. I will say that. And so, it's not a forever home for us. And so we do have a couple serious buyers, but for anybody listening, if you are looking for a home that's, you can have fun, you can host people, host parties, whatever it may be, it's your place. Cause trust me, that house is unreal. And it's fully tricked out smart home, iPads in the walls. I mean, you name it, it's there.
Is that the home where Ellie filmed all of her shooting exploits?
I don't know how I forgot that. Yeah, it has an indoor basketball court, too. It's only a high school three-point line of sorts, and then we also have a few other pieces of gym equipment in there and a very nice ping-pong table, which I actually allowed to stay as well because the person who might buy it requested that. But it's a nice place. Whoever ends up buying it will be very, very satisfied. And by the way, for a very, very fair price, you drop that home in LA somewhere, it's worth like 15 to 20 million bucks. So
when I look at that, I contrast that with what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, and you in Robinson, Illinois, and I remember you telling me a story about the utilities getting shut off at your home and how you guys had to sleep. You all slept in the living room. And when you contrast that with a $3 million home that's got a pool and a pool house and everything, I look at that and I go, there must be something inside of Myers that says, you know what, man? Like you made that from nothing. You know what I mean? We shouldn't get caught up in material things, but you went from a kid who was sleeping on the floor of the living room because you had no heat to being in the position you're in. You should be proud of yourself.
Well, first of all, thank you so much. Seriously, you and I would consider us friends, and you know, your words do mean a lot. But you know, again, I am in awe sometimes, John. I literally put my head on the pillow at night and think, how in the world am I here right now? Like, so thankful and so blessed. But to go from quite literally sleeping on the floor with no electricity, no running water, to having a home in Oregon that had an outdoor basketball and tennis court, indoor basketball court, pool house, amazing man cave, plenty of space for everything. You can host a party, do whatever you want, smart home. I don't get it sometimes. And I think that's probably why, you know, it's in my heart regardless to help others. But I think the struggle built character and work ethic and loyalty and love for other people. I know what it's like to have quite literally nothing. I know what it's like to show up 2 days in a row to school and be made fun of because you didn't have a new set of clothes on. I know what it's like to have people show up at Thanksgiving with food because otherwise you wouldn't have a Thanksgiving meal. I know what it's like to have people show up with toys on your front doorstep whenever it's Christmas and you wonder, am I supposed to take these or not? You know, like it's just so bizarre. And that's why, you know, maybe we'll get into it, but that's where all these initiatives I think probably come from and why I constantly am trying to find new ways to give back. I mean, the last month for me has been absolute insanity in a good way. I raised $180,000 kind of on my own. I had a lot of help, don't get me wrong, but I had a goal to feed 1 million people. We ended up feeding well over 1 million in the month of April alone. I am constantly just thankful for others and in awe of how I've been given this platform and an ability to impact others. And it's just, I have to do it. I know what it's like. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, what gave you that idea? Because I saw that and I was like, good on you. And like you, that was like a 24. Mm-hmm. Did you stay up all night to do that?
Yeah, I'll give you hopefully a not long-winded Myers-Leonard answer on this. So I read Udonis Haslam's article, which was in the Players Tribune. He basically was upset with the fact that Florida didn't have certain regulations in place and there were spring breakers and they were saying, oh, well, this is ridiculous that everything's being shut down. Obviously, we all know that that's not ridiculous. We had to do what was right for people's health and safety. And he also talked about how kids aren't going to school and how some kids literally get breakfast and lunch. So they get 2 out of 3 meals at school and how that was him when he was a kid. And basically how he's partnered with Feeding South Florida, and he had said that $1 will feed 6 people. And so I did the math on that, and right at about 170,000 or so will feed just over 1 million people. And so we've, like I said, I'm proud to say I raised 180,000, which I think the math comes out to like 1,080,000 people. But the point is I read that article and I thought to myself, I'm in a very unique position to help people, both by just impact in general and my words, but also financially. And how do I partner with certain brands and align with certain people to help people during this very, honestly, kind of dark time that we're all going through? And so I split the money 50-50 between Feeding South Florida and Feeding America. The first stream was a 24-hour live stream. I actually stayed up for 25 and a half straight, basically of nonstop high-energy content, which I'm capable of. And I was going to keep going, by the way, if my internet didn't shut off on me. So that was that. And then about 10 days later, I did an All-NBA Call of Duty event. And I'm so gracious for all those guys being willing to give their time. And then also the last one was a high-level Twitch streamer, NBA, NFL, and many other Call of Duty League pros. We combined to do another Call of Duty event where it was more a team event of trios playing the Warzone. And it was unbelievable. How it all happened, I don't know. John, I've literally been more busy in the last month than I ever have been in my NBA career. All the emails, all the phone calls, setting up with brands. Hey, we'll give you X amount of dollars if you'll represent our brand, because let's be honest, people need content and brands want to align with certain things. And I'm thankful that there were probably 5 to 6 major brands that said, yeah, we'd love to donate to your cause. So again, I could just continually, for the next hour, I could thank people that were willing to either give time or watch the stream or donate money. So it's been crazy, but I'm proud to say that it happened.
I love that. Myers Leonard is with us. Miami Heat forward. Sports question. Strongest player that has ever posted you up?
Steven Adams.
What does that feel like?
You know, John, when we hang up or when you're hanging out at the house later, walk about 10 paces from the hardest wall in your home, turn around, and run straight at it. Steven Adams is a very strong man. And he's functional too. So he can move you pretty easily if you don't have, if you don't have yourself planted and your foundation and you're ready for the blow, he's going to hit you pretty hard. Prime Dwight right in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would say Pekovic. I think he was done playing after my rookie year, but man, oh man, talk about being a 20-year-old playing against that guy. Sheesh. I feel like I'm Joel Embiid just has this natural, like, he's just a monster, man. I think the reason Joel seems maybe right up there with Steven is because he is so fluid for as big as he is. So he might catch off balance off a crossover and then bump you. And most people at that size wouldn't be able to gather, bump, and get everything under control, whereas Joel can because he's so damn talented. So there's a few that come to mind, but I would say Steven, Joel, young Dwight, younger Dwight, That would probably be the top three. I don't know if I'm missing anybody, but those are the ones that come to mind.
You have been in the league a while now, and I'm curious because I think for big men, the learning curve is a different curve than maybe for guards. But you're 28 years old now, and what do you know now that you didn't know when you walked through the doors?
Oh God, John, we could talk forever about this. You know, you and I have had this discussion before, and quickly, I'll just say that were there times in Portland when I played poorly? Yes, absolutely. Were there times that I played well and thought I should have got more minutes? Yes. Did I prove by the end of my time in Portland that I'm a damn good NBA player and that I can impact winning? Yes. I say all that to say that I have learned so much along the way. I do think I play a very specific role. I know for sure that Miami loves my role and what I bring to the table. I'm very good at communicating. I study scouting reports very, very hard and in very much detail. I know what their guards want. I know what their bigs want. You know, I care about winning. I don't care about shots. I don't care about rebounds. I don't care about block shots. I don't care about any of that. I care about winning, period. And, for example, I don't mind boxing out Joel Embiid all night long and getting 5 rebounds versus maybe I could get 8 to 10 if I didn't. Because I could just roam and try to get the ball. Guess what? As long as we get it, a.k.a. probably Bam flying out of nowhere and getting it, is good with me. I'm okay setting screens and getting our guards open. I'm okay spacing the floor and not being the guy that has to take all the shots. I don't care. I care about winning. You know, I won't name the person and I won't name the player they compared me to. However, it was a very humbling text and a very meaningful player in NBA history. So, you know, you remind me of him. You know why? Because you don't care about your notoriety. You care about winning. I said, yeah, you're right. I said, you remind me so much of this guy, your work ethic, your character, and your willingness to do whatever it takes in your role to help the team win. I said, yeah, you're damn right. And so, you know, I say all that, John, to say that I'm in a good place here in Miami. I really feel as though I help Jimmy and Bam in a lot of ways. You know, I space the floor. I give them opportunities to attack driving lanes and, you know, get out and transition. Again, I don't mind taking the physical demand. I don't mind boxing out every single time. If the ball comes to me, fine. If we get it, that's great. That's what I want. My communication, John, I'm continually getting better in defensive pick and roll. I'm continually getting better at rotating quicker on help side. That's clear. By the way, go look at the numbers. Miami Heat, when Myers was in the starting lineup, Miami Heat, when Myers was not in the starting lineup. I've made a big difference here. And I know that I'm limited in some ways, but I'm continually getting better in those areas. And also, as I just mentioned, I'm a good team defender. I'm good on the block as well. You know, am I a stellar defender? I don't know. But I'm sure as hell not what they made me out to be, am I? Hell no, I'm not. Look at our team. By the way, Myers Leonard, starting center, Miami Heat. Guess what? When I'm on that starting lineup, number one defense in the league. What do you think that tells you? All right, then.
Myers Leonard, good defensive player. That's what it tells. Hey, are you watching the Jordan documentary?
Abso-frickin-lutely, yes, John. Of course, yeah.
Do you like? Do you like that? I sort of like that they didn't give us the whole thing at once. That we have to wait. Like, it reminds me of being a kid and having to wait for the shows week to week.
I absolutely agree. I love it. You know, first of all the behind-the-scenes stuff, you know, kind of allowing people to honestly, for me, John, for example, everyone always says, well, Myers, LeBron, or Mike. I said, I don't know for sure. 1A, 1B, best of all time, because I didn't see Michael play. I can watch highlights all I want, but honestly, seeing some of this stuff gives me a greater appreciation for just how dominant he was and what his mindset was like and how he approached every single day. And, you know, just the story of Michael Jordan is unbelievable. I mean, yeah, that last episode, it makes me think like, oh my God, there's times when I hate my level of celebrity status. Can you imagine being Michael Jordan? Oh. People, they would literally drove him away from the game. I mean, I say this all the time, and I mean this in the best way possible. People can't always imagine what the NBA lifestyle is like, John. We talked about it plenty of times. I was depressed. I had anxiety at our home arena because I was booed by our own fans. Okay? I was called out by many people, and in the city of Portland. And that's going to continue to happen. I'm not calling out Portland. I am thankful for every experience I had there because it built me into who I am today. However, that hurt bad. It brought me to my knees. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But at the same time, I've now learned what through that experience. And by the way, I had the willingness to speak on it. And so many people have reached out to me and said, Myers, you have no idea. Thank you so much for being relatable and saying, you know what? Just because I'm an NBA player with millions of dollars and an amazing wife and playing NBA, I'm thankful for that.
Myers Leonard, Miami Heat. You keep up the fight, man. You're doing good things. I love that you're helping people and feeding people. And I know that, you know, you may have had anxiety. You know, don't let those few people ever define who you are. You had a whole bunch of people that were not booing you and that saw you for what you could be and what you were.
I certainly appreciate that. It means a lot, man. Seriously. You've always been a big believer in me. And I think I've shown, particularly those last few games in Portland and throughout this entire season here in Miami, with how I've played and how our team has performed with me on the floor, that I was capable. I just, you know, there were certain barriers that I just couldn't necessarily break down in my time in Portland.
You're still a young man. You got some time here, too. You got some time to, you know, this story is about 40% written for you on in basketball and much more beyond that. So, you know, you keep doing what you're doing.
I appreciate it, man.
Myers Leonard, thank you. Thanks for making time for us.
Thanks, brother. Have a great day.
All right. There he is from sunny Miami. Myers Leonard. I mean, just heavy, good, impactful, powerful stuff. Love talking with him. I always loved getting a coffee with Myers Leonard or sitting down before the arena opened and having Myers Leonard in the seat next to you and having a conversation with him about it. Great stuff from Myers Leonard. The voice of the Mariners still coming up. Plus, the greatest outdoorsman I've ever met. You'll meet him on today's show. The Mariners are doing something cool with Bloodworks NW. Bloodworks Northwest. The Mariners have stepped up to bat. I'll tell you about that and how you can get two tickets by donating blood. Donate blood, get tickets. I'll tell you where to go and how to get it. Coming up, we'll talk to the Mariners, the voice of the Mariners, on today's show. Rick Riz will be joining us on today's show. If you are in the mood for a mortgage adjustment, meaning if you want to lower your rate, you want to take some cash out, if you want to pay off a credit card, if you want to just lower your payment or maybe go a couple of months without making a mortgage payment, you can refinance using Golden Oak Lending. GoldenOakLending.com is the website. You can use their portal. It's hassle-free. It's risk-free. BFT listeners have been checking it out, and there is no obligation. You can just go to GoldenOakLending.com and fill out some information, find out what they can do for you and your mortgage. It's really easy to do, and Golden Oak Lending will not charge you for an appraisal. They won't even take a credit card. They won't charge you for the appraisal unless they close the loan. So there you go. GoldenOakLending.com. That's the website. All right, coming up, we're going to be talking to Rick Riz, who is the Mariners' play-by-play radio voice. If you don't know Rick's voice, I'll give you a little taste of it here.
Here's the pitch on the way, swinging a high drive deep to right field. This one is going and going and goodbye baseball, upper deck in right field. Welcome to September, Kyle Seager.
Rick Riz will be joining us next. I want you to leave it here. He's going to tell you how you can get two tickets to a Mariners game. Yes, when they start playing games again, you could be sitting on two tickets. What a great
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.